Let's continue in our talks from Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. In these verses, we have the Lord Jesus calming a great windstorm on the Sea of Galilee, one of our Lord's miracles over nature. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Some background notes. The Lord and his disciples are sailing from somewhere on the western side of the Sea of Galilee to the southeastern side, a sail of about 10 miles. In verse 36, we read that, "Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was." What does that mean, as he was? Well, remember that the Lord had been using the boat as his platform for teaching the crowds gathered along the shore. You read about that back in verse 1. Now, without going ashore for any rest or refreshment, they start right out for the other side, as he was. That's the idea there. Somewhere in the middle of the lake, the wind begins to pick up. And it's more than just a little. It's more than white capping. The waves are, as we see in verse 37, breaking over the boat and filling the boat. You know, windstorms can arise quite suddenly on the Sea of Galilee. The way the wind is funneled through the hills around the Sea of Galilee and the way the cool air over the Mediterranean Sea to the west and the hot air over the desert to the east, the way you have the interaction taking place there can lead to some sudden and fierce windstorms on the Sea of Galilee. And this is particularly true in the fall season, when this event most likely took place. Verse 36 says there were other boats. Now, what happened to these boats? Well, most likely, these folks had come by boat to listen to the Lord teach on the western shore there, and now they decide to follow the Lord. But when the wind begins to pick up, because they're smaller boats, most likely, they turn back to the western shore. So don't get the idea that all these other boats fell apart and people drowned and so forth. No, most likely they went back to safety on the western shore. But the Lord and his disciples continue. But now the wind is really picking up. It's so strong that they are in danger. And the disciples panic. The Lord doesn't panic, however. The Lord is sleeping peacefully in the stern of the boat, using a boat cushion as a pillow, as we see in verse 38. The disciples, in their anxiety and fear, rudely wake up the Lord and say, "Teacher, don't you care about the situation? We're going to drown. We're perishing." Well, the Lord, when he woke up, did not join the ranks of the fearful and wonder, what are we going to do? No, he calmly rebuked the wind, "Peace, be still." And nature obeyed. And then the Lord rebuked the disciples, not for waking them up, but for being afraid and not having enough faith. All right, let's move to the doctrinal points for this miracle. Doctrinal point number one, the Lord Jesus Christ is 100% God and 100% man. The Lord Jesus Christ is 100% God and 100% man. This is what the scripture teaches, and this truth is seen here in this miracle. The Lord Jesus is not 50% God, 50% man, or 75% God, 25% man, or 25% God and 75% man. No, he's fully God and fully man. 100% God, 100% man. The Lord Jesus was not God taking on just what appeared to be a human body. And Jesus was not just a human with a divine spirit. No, he was and is fully God and fully man. 100% God, 100% man. Now, some events in Scripture strongly bring out his full deity. For example, his detailed knowledge of his coming betrayal and death. Certainly evidence of his full deity. Some events in Scripture strongly bring out his full humanity. Like our Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Here in this event, we see both his deity and humanity emphasized. Where do we see his deity? He calmed the storm. Think of it. He spoke a couple of words, and nature obeyed. By the way, the verbs that the Lord uses here, in peace be still, are the same verbs that the Lord uses back in chapter 1, verse 25, where he casts the demons out of the man, indicating that there may have been demonic forces behind this storm. If we were there, we probably would have had the same reaction as the disciples, as we see in verse 41. Who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? You see, the disciples at that point did not yet fully comprehend his full deity. They had already seen the Lord heal the sick, even the miraculous catch of fish in Luke 5, also the raising of the widow of Nain's son, Luke 7. But this, he's in control of the elements. He's fully God. Where do we see his full humanity brought out in this passage? He slept. As a man, the Lord Jesus needed to eat, needed to sleep, just as we do. The Lord was fully man with a human nature, but not a sinful human nature. The Lord Jesus Christ is 100% God and 100% man. Doctrinal point number two. Christ's power over nature guarantees the promise of a disaster-free new heavens and new earth. Christ's power over nature guarantees the promise of a disaster-free new heavens and new earth. The Bible promises that this present groaning creation is going to end. Check that out in Romans 8, verses 21 through 22. This groaning creation, it's just a matter of time. There's a new heavens and a new earth coming. You see that promise specifically in 2 Peter 3:13. 2 Peter 3:13. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. In this new heavens and new earth, there will be no more disease, no more demonic, no more death, no more natural disaster. Now here in this last section of Mark 4, as well as the miracles that take place following this in Mark 5, we're given a glimpse into what it will be like when the Lord returns and the new heavens and the new earth are fully brought in. In chapter 5, we'll see there the Lord's power over the demonic, over disease, over death. And here at the end of chapter 4, we see his power over disaster. Did you get those four D's, by the way? The demonic, disease, death, and disaster. So here at the end of chapter 4, we see that Christ's power over nature, over natural disaster, guarantees the promise of a disaster-free new heavens and new earth. The fact that the Lord can speak a couple of words and bring the sea, the wind, under control shows that nature is totally under his control. Storms are only allowed at the present time. Natural disasters are only temporary. Christ's power over nature guarantees the promise of a disaster-free new heavens and new earth. Practical application. Two practical applications. Practical application number one from this miracle. Our character is built through crisis. Our character is built through crisis. Do you think the Lord knew the storm was coming? Of course he did. He's God. Well, why didn't he say, let's wait until tomorrow and then go over to the southeast side of the Sea of Galilee? Well, one reason was so that the disciples would take a step forward in their faith. We see from verse 40 that the Lord wanted them to mature. The Lord purposely led them into the storm because crisis builds character. Where would you be right now in your walk with the Lord if life was just smooth sailing? God may be permitting a crisis in your life right now because he wants you to grow in your faith and trust in him. He wants you to become more mature in the faith. Maybe that's why God permitted you to have a business setback, or even be going through a time right now of great suffering. Maybe you're not a Christian yet. And through this crisis, God wants to change your character completely as you place your faith and trust in Christ as your personal Savior. Remember, our character is built through crisis. Practical application number two. We are not alone in the storms of life. We are not alone in the storms of life. There was no need for the disciples to panic. The Lord was in the boat. There was no way that boat was going to sink. Yes, the Lord was asleep, but he still was in control. Sometimes when the storms of life arise in our own lives, it seems like the Lord is sleeping and doesn't care and he's not in control. How wrong we are. We are not alone and abandoned. The Lord is with us, and he is in control. Do you feel alone and abandoned right now for some reason? If you know the Lord as your personal Savior, if you're a Christian, you are not alone. Hebrews 13:5, great promise. I will never leave you nor forsake you, says the Lord. Even though the waves may be breaking over your boat and your boat filling with water, as it were, verse 37, you are not alone. And the Lord can bring about his peace and calm in any storm of life. Don't underestimate the power of the Lord as the disciples did. Remember, even in the storm, you're not alone. We are not alone in the storms of life.